This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today. Well, good morning, everybody. This is David Francoeur, welcoming you to WCNO's Wednesday Live today. And Jonathan McLean, our manager, is on a well-earned vacation, far enough away that he can't even come by to check on things. So I know he's listening, and God bless you, Jonathan, and your family. Having the studio today, Karen Hubbard. Hello,
good
Karen.
Morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's always good to see you.
Good to see you.
And
too.
We have two other guests I'm going to introduce in just a moment. And this is going to be a special broadcast of Wednesday Live. We're going to be covering some very crucial issues going on in our country today, looking at them through the lens of the Bible, and then also the lens of the Constitution of the United States, which was informed by the Bible and those who wrote it. But first, we have a prayer and a request and kind of a little bit of mail that came into the station. So, Karen, I'm going to ask you to take that care
okay.
of that.
Okay. Yeah, let me do the mail first. We had a little note here from Janine in Lantana, who had sent in a gift. She said, "Thank you for your ministry, and may God bless. Praise God, and thank you, Jesus." Mm. And another note here from Marilee. I'm not sure where she's from. And she said, "I appreciate the morning lineup from 7:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Oh. After that, I'm off to an afternoon job."
Mm.
So.
Wow. Thank you, Marilee.
I know. So be blessed listening. And I know a lot of people appreciate the morning teaching programs.
Yes.
On the station.
You know, that leads. Oh, sorry. You had something else to say. No. You.
You first.
Well, if you let me go, you're not going to be able to say it because I've got a lot to say.
I know. I had to like squeeze in there real quick.
Yeah.
So then we have our prayer request.
Oh, yes. For Connie.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. So our friend Connie out in Okeechobee says she's been under attack spiritually. She's pretty nervous and is looking for deliverance.
Amen.
And I imagine a lot of people are in that same situation and feeling with all the craziness going on, you know, feeling the weight of all these different things happening. So lift up Connie, and then if this applies to you, then just receive from the Lord with this prayer. So Father God, we just lift up Connie and all those, Lord, who are under attack spiritually and feeling all the craziness that's going on, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that your peace would be upon them. Lord, that you would fill your people with peace. And Lord God, that even in this hour, Lord, that we would know you and trust you even more than we ever have before. Peace. Father, that your word says to let peace be our umpire.
Mm.
And you said to seek peace and pursue it. So if we have no peace, we need to look for the peace. We got to find where the peace is. And we know, Lord Jesus, that that's in you. So I just speak your peace over everyone dealing with nervousness, anxiety, and all these other things that are going on, God. Father, let peace be the umpire over your people today. Yes, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And we love Connie. She's she's our Okeechobee watchman on the wall, on the wall.
And that's awesome.
She is a powerful praying warrior. And she'll also call to tell us when we're not broadcasting, which is a great gift, believe me. So thank you, Connie. God bless you. I want to move now into introducing our two guests today and start off by saying that one of the aspects of this broadcast ministry that God has put on our hearts from day one is to edify and educate to our listeners, those that believe, certainly, but also those who are listening in who may not have a relationship with the Lord today, but maybe God is encouraging you to open your heart and your mind to what he would love to do for you in and through Zin Thun. The ultimate, of course, is salvation. And so along those lines, and in light of what God has called us to do, we're so deeply and profoundly aware of the chaos in our nation today. And a lot of that is because of misunderstanding. And most recently, the Supreme Court issued three decisions, almost back to back, that three are based on, now this is what the Supreme Court should do, is base their decision on the Constitution of the United States and what it says and what its intentions are, not on politics, not on emotions, and not on any other foundation but what the Constitution says about forgive me for using the word constitutes, but anyway. And if that confused you, we have someone in the studio here who's going to unconfuse you. And that's Dr. Brenda McMenamin. We've had you on the program before, Brenda, and welcome back. Brenda's what I'm going to call a constitutional scholar. And we'll get into later on, because some of you are going to say, wow, I'd love to have her come by to our church or our organization or whatever. How else can I learn more about what she knows? And she's going to tell us how you can do that. And we also have today with us Sue Chess, who's the executive director of CareNet of the Treasure Coast. And I'm delighted to have you, Sue, here. And you, Brenda, thank you for coming. Between the two of you and the work of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen today, and I think this is all on all of our hearts, is God is going to bring forward through this broadcast some very pertinent things that you, the listener, need to know. Number one, to bring you peace in the midst of the chaos and the misinformation. There's a lot of that. So we're going to talk first at the end of the, as we move through the program, Brenda's going to take us into a constitutional realm of understanding. And you already have a plan, and I'm going to set you loose in just a minute. And then we're going to, as the program unfolds, want to involve Sue talking about Roe v. with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, what that really means today, and maybe looking down the road, the future of what that means for America. And that's probably all I need to say. Brenda, I'm going to turn this over to you. We have these three decisions, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, which overturned Roe v. Wade, the Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, that's in Washington State, that was a First Amendment supportive decision, and then the last decision that came out last week was the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, which affirms the rights of individuals for self-defense to carry a weapon if they believe they need that and are otherwise not unqualified to do so. That's a Second Amendment decision, very much in favor and very basically constitutional. But we need to know more about the Constitution and address the chaos.
Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here, and I want to share why I got involved in learning about the Constitution. I had a series of things happen to me when I was younger that made me realize that everything that I thought was wrong, and one of them being responsible for an abortion. And when I found out that she was devastated years later, I was shattered. And so as we're discussing this, I wanted to share that, because what we don't want to do is leave anyone feeling that they're condemned or to stir up that pain that they have. We're here to bring healing and just share how faithful God is to love each one of us. And his grace is sufficient to carry us through this. But speaking of the Constitution, we have not been taught the original intent of the Constitution for generations now. And as far as we can remember in our own education, our parents, our grandparents, we've had government schools. And so we have been unmoored from our biblical foundation and biblical truth in our schools, in how we govern ourselves. And so I even hear people talk about how Christians should be governed by the Constitution. And it just shows how much we do not understand that we are governed by the Bible through salvation and the power of His Holy Spirit to be able to see His commandments really as promises. They bring life and they bring blessing. And out of the authority that Jesus delegated to us, we took some of that authority and delegated it to our representatives, chained them with the Constitution to the rule of law. And so that is the Constitution. It gives the individual liberty. And we don't see it that way anymore. Now that the Constitution is almost 3,000 pages instead of the little pocket Constitution, there's been so many decisions passed that aren't according to the original intent of the Constitution. And so I'm excited because I see the court expressing that sentiment and basically giving that authority back to the states and to the people. So what I'm praying is that in this exchange of power, God's people, the ecclesia, hear what His Spirit is saying to the church, that it's time for us to rise up. And I'd like to give it, you know, specific examples as you give me time, that we need to walk in the authority that God's given us.
Amen. That's critical. And it seems to me, and you talked about the fact that, I mean, the Constitution is biblically based, and the men who wrote that original document, I mean, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, all of those significant documents were people of God.
Yes, they were.
And now some people would nitpick, you know, and point to, well, maybe so, but this guy didn't believe that, and this guy didn't, you know. But the bottom line is they were brought together by the Holy Spirit to create these foundational documents upon which we stand. And so that's how important they are. Unfortunately, today, if you look at today, it seems like people are upset because of the Supreme Court doing what it was supposed to do.
Exactly.
Like, no, maybe, why is that? I mean, I know the answer, but, you know, why is that?
I think a lot of people have been taught to look to the government to care for them, and especially the Supreme Court to make law, which Congress is the only branch that we delegated that authority to. So in the First Amendment, when it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, it's the only branch that should be making law. And we just don't realize that. We really, it's not by accident that we haven't been taught in our government schools about the Constitution, because we would be much more involved, we would be much more free, and we'd be walking in more responsibility. And you can't overtake a people when they're responsible and they're walking in their responsibilities.
That's clearly what slowly but incrementally happened.
It is.
Several decades, maybe even a couple of centuries if you go back far enough. So what do we do about that?
Well, I think education. Mm-hmm. And so I do teach the Constitution in 6 weeks to mm-hmm. adults. I call it Constitutional Conversations in 6 weeks. So if you go to teachinghisstory.com, I'm going to have it on sale right after 4th of July. And that's online on Monday nights. It's going to be a lot of fun. But one of the things I'd like to do is the 1828 dictionary. If anyone's seen that, it's that big, thick green one that was published by Noah Webster. And he studied all these languages and realized that American language was different than England's. And so we needed a dictionary of our own. But mm-hmm. look at the definition of government and think how you, if you look in the dictionary, the way we think about government is in the present dictionary, dictionary.com or whatever. Look at the root of it from the 1828. Direction, regulation, these precepts will serve for the government of our conduct. So that's self-government.
Right.
The second definition, control, restraint. Men are apt to neglect the government of their temper and passions. Mm. So we don't even think of government in that term of self-government, do we? No. And then look at the fourth definition, the exercise of authority by a parent or householder. Children are often ruined by a neglect of government and parents. And then it's got a quote, let the family government be like that of our Heavenly Father, mild, gentle, and affectionate. Isn't
wow.
that beautiful?
That is absolutely beautiful. But today, you think of the average person today who has gone through public education, at least, for the last maybe, I'm going to throw out 50 years, thereabouts, and in civics classes, slowly but surely, these references to the Constitution and the roots, the biblical roots of our government and our understanding of government has not been taught.
Right.
And explains, I think, in a very general sense, why so many people today are running around with their hair on fire because mm-hmm. they're upset with the Supreme Court doing its job because they don't really understand the Constitution in specific and government in general. Yeah. So I want to shift to Sue. And I'll tell you what, though, before I do that, we're going to take a break. And we're going to have a little music, and then we're going to come back, and I have a question for Sue. And I know she has an answer.
She does.
She does. She does. She
we
does.
We know you do.
Anyway, and I promise you during the break, I will not give her the answer. She already has it.
He's not even going to give me the question through the
break. I
will
get right. Be back in a few.
You and all
That's Keith Green in Spirit and in Truth. Wow. Welcome back. We've been talking with Dr. Brenda McMenamin and Sue Chest, the Executive Director of CareNet of the Treasure Coast. And Brenda's a constitutional scholar who is available, who has programs for study. Part of our emphasis today is to say to anyone listening, unless you're a lawyer, and even some of them probably need to be reintroduced to constitutional law and what the Constitution's all about, we really don't have everything we need to understand government and why things happen and why things don't happen. And especially today, the Supreme Court decisions recently that have enabled some people to become very, very anxious and express that anxiety in public, some of it being very destructive. And we don't support that, and we want to help people have some peace, because truth gives peace. And so it's God's truth, it's not relativistic truth. I wanted to shift and ask Sue Chess to talk with us a minute about Roe v. Wade, that decision back in 1973 that seemed to, or did authorize, a national approach to legalizing abortion. And at that point, you know, the rights of the unborn sunk way, way down. But then also to talk about what does that mean today for the overturning of Roe v. Wade? Maybe to say, how could it have been decided in favor in the beginning in 1973? What the foundation of that favorable decision was on the part of the Supreme Court, why it was overturned last week, and what that means for women in America, but it also pertains to men too, because most of us are connected to our ladies one way or the other. So anyway, Sue?
Well, I would like to say first that we understand that this whole issue coming up has caused a lot of stirred up pain in the hearts of women who have abortion in their background. And I need to say not just women, but also men. I know that it affects men and women both. And the pain that I hear, the pain that I see, the pain that I read in so much of the comments that I read on social media, and even the expressions of the faces of the people that were in front of the Supreme Court the day that this ruling came down, there's not, emotion clouds your ability to work through the logic and work through the points of why the decision overturned. And so first I want to acknowledge the painful stirring up of grief, even if you don't recognize it as grief, and I know that many people don't recognize that the anger that they're feeling should more properly be interpreted grief. So first I want to acknowledge that and say that we understand, and that some of the most powerful people and some of the most sensitive people that I spend time around are people that have abortion in their background, and I understand and hear your pain, and my heart hurts for that. But what Roe v. Wade, what took place was that the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case actually ended the judicial activism that was entrenched in Roe v. Wade. And Roe v. Wade claimed a right to abortion in the Constitution, despite failing to have it grounded in a constitutional text. It wasn't in the Constitution. And that is what their studying of Roe v. Wade brought them to. But they did it through the case of Casey. And in looking at Casey, Casey basically deals with the right of privacy that they discovered, quote unquote, discovered in the 14th Amendment. And it isn't there. That's what they came to the conclusion of. And if you read all of the arguments to and fro all around it, you come to the conclusion that that is not an emotional decision that they made. That was a, this should not have happened in the first place. But if you take out the finding of privacy in the 14th Amendment, well, then that causes Casey causes Roe to fall. Roe was based on this wishy-washy understanding of trimester and when the baby was viable and all of this stuff. And that, you know, has been changing. It used to, I mean, a baby is viable much, much younger than what it used to be. And after looking, one of the Supreme Court justices in the Roe case made the comment, quote unquote, "We need not determine at what moment life begins." They don't. I would say that was their job. That was their job. It, because if this is a human organism, if this is a human life, isn't that the first one of the first things that the Constitution protects? But their statement revealed that they didn't know at what moment life began. We now biologically know that moment that life begins. Mm-hmm. It begins when the egg and the sperm meet. And so the very thing that they discovered and basically hung their hat on, they didn't really have a good standing on. And so when Casey fell, when the privacy part of this fell, then it rolled back on Roe, and Roe had nothing to sustain it. And that's when the Supreme Court justices ruled, as they should, that there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. I know that statement stirs up all kinds of stuff in the hearts and the minds of people who have never known a United States of America that didn't have the right to abortion. But it's still true. It's still true. And there are all kind of lies that have been stirred up all over our nation as a result of this ruling. And one of which is that a woman with an ectopic pregnancy will be left to die. Well, no, she won't. Anytime a woman's life is threatened, then you would do an abortion. It's not called an abortion. It's called something else legal, medically. You would do something to save a life, because if you didn't, you could lose two lives. Please understand that an ectopic pregnancy is potentially life-threatening. They must deal with that. And no, an ectopic pregnancy cannot be removed and implanted into the uterus, which is what I heard one person saying, that the law in Ohio is trying to make allowances for that fact. There is a window of implantation that only in that window could it be implanted in the uterus. I remember when I was in nurses training hearing miscarriage called spontaneous abortion. And I don't mean to go into the weeds with all of this, but it is something different. It's not the same thing as taking a life to end a life. You would be taking a life to save a life, the life of the mother. A total different thing in the case of ectopic pregnancy. If there is a miscarriage left inside of a woman, well, yes, if it's not happening naturally that she expels that miscarriage, then yes, you can remove this miscarried baby. Understand, the baby is not alive at that point. You're removing a baby that is no longer alive, and you're removing it to save the life of the mother. You never would, this is not taking away the right for a woman to be safe. It is not. And so much misunderstanding is stirring up out there that it is stirring fear that is unfounded and does not help us understand what just took place in the Supreme Court. It goes back to the states, and even now, there are many, many things that must be discussed and understood about it within the states. But hang on, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through this. There is help. My hope and my desire and my prayer is that there will be expanded help. There will be more help for women, because we will all be stepping in to come alongside women who are facing unplanned pregnancies. We understand that it's scary and it must be supported. That's what we do at CareNet. We know about that. And so there will be help. There will be understanding. Give it time. Work your way through all of the things, the fallout from this huge, momentous, but yes, I believe, justified decision to overturn Roe v. Wade.
And what you've said points to something that needs to be underscored, and that is God has raised up his people to be pastoral and caring.
Yes.
And that's what the church is empowered to do. Forget the people who claim to be Christians and don't do the pastoral thing. And we are not doing anything here but educating and edifying. We are not rubbing salt in the wound of those people who are upset about this. We understand. We understand the fear and the anxiety. We're human beings. We've lived through all those times for other reasons. But we also have heard the call of God, which is a call that we want to respond to 24/7, 365.
That's right.
To bring the truth. And now again, I'm going to have to remind you, it's not relativistic truth. It's not just my truth. It's not just Brenda's truth or Sue's truth or Karen's truth. It's God's truth. And that absolute truth of God that has so wonderfully been infused into our Constitution is why we are taking the time today to lift that up to you and hopefully give you some peace.
It's not a loving thing to not confront truth. It is not a loving thing to believe a lie. And so sometimes the only way that you can honestly and helpfully work your way through a time like this is to lovingly speak truth, and to reach out with your questions, to say what is on your heart, and to then listen intently.
Amen. And that last part, listen intently, is a gift God gives his people, especially when we are confronted by people that don't believe and are angry and upset. And so I pray that grace that Sue just talked about would, for our listeners, would touch your heart. Because what God wants us to do as ambassadors of Christ, when we encounter someone who is very anxious, afraid, and is on the other side of an issue, is to have the courage to ask them why they believe what they believe. And stick with them through that process of discovery, because understanding is the fruit of communication.
Yes.
And we can still walk away disagreeing with their thesis or their philosophy or whatever. But something happens when that door is open for two people who disagree with each other to have a ground of discovery. And I'm praying personally for that to happen in our nation. Big time.
I'm excited to see us finally talking about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For years, we haven't been talking about what abortion really is, mm-hmm. and neither have we been talking about what it does to people who have one, how it affects them.
I'd like for us to come back to that point, Sue. We're going to take a quick break to hear a short promo, and then, so hold that thought. Don't let it escape.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationship among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at TCAlliance.com or reach us by phone at 772-324-9313.
And thank you, Chris Vogel, for that brief commentary about Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, as in part sponsors this particular program, and we're grateful for that. Sue, you were making a point before the break, and I'd like you to pick up on that. I think, was I dreaming that? I don't know. A lot of good going on. Well, let me throw something out then, because, and for both of you to comment, because although there were several other constitutional issues that the Supreme Court dealt with last week, the most significant, well, I shouldn't say it that way because all the amendments are significant, but the one that strikes at the very heart of this nation's relationship to God, if you will, at the beginnings of repentance for the sin of murder when it comes to abortion. I know that's a hard term for some people to hear, but in fact it isn't. But based on that, in our Constitution, I think the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
It's a kind of a phrase some people throw off, but it actually is a synthesis of how we can understand, I think, all the documents that pertain pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And also, because we have, it certainly there's a godly framework, the content is godly. And I was thinking of Jeremiah first chapter, where Jeremiah, of course, goes before the Lord, and he's kind of anxious about the call that God put on him to be a prophet. And God's assurance goes something like this. He says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I called you to be a prophet to the nations. But the first part of that, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from the constitutional, there seems to be a nexus of revelation here. And I'm just going to throw that out to you to address Roe v. Wade and its overturning based on those two facts.
When I think of Jeremiah 1, I think a lot of what John Locke wrote in Of Civil Government, and he talks about how we are all workmanship of one maker. And he talks, it's worded way more eloquently than this, but basically that God has a call for each one of us.
He does.
And I remember as a young Christian reading that for the first time, and it helped me understand how presumptuous I had been in my own situation of saying, my friend, you're not mature enough to be a mom. You're not ready to be a mom. And overlooking the fact that God knew that baby in the womb and had a purpose for him. Mm-hmm. And so this holy fear of God came upon me, that who am I to look at anyone's circumstances and say, God can't redeem that. God has no calling for that person. And we've all seen people who have been conceived in rape, like Rebecca and so many others, that are amazingly gifted and bringing solutions. And it's just beautiful to see what God can do with any of us when we yield to his purposes. So we should be encouraging people, you know, I'll help you. And I think that's what God's doing, is empowering the individual instead of looking to the government to meet all our needs and making all of our decisions. He's returning us to, what does my neighbor across the street need? How can I help them? And just the reality that God will use each one of us to bless each one of us.
There was a young woman who came to CareNet several years ago who was in nurses training, and she was told she found herself in an unplanned pregnancy, and the father would not think the father was going to be supportive, and she was told, if you don't abort this baby, you'll never graduate from nurses training. But there was something in her heart that was not okay with that, and she found CareNet by accident and came to us. And what we said to her was, if you want to choose life for this baby, we will show you how. We will come alongside you. And that's really what many women are crying out for. Come alongside me. If you come alongside me, maybe I can do this. Because the number one thing that we hear at CareNet is, I have to get an abortion, I have no choice. Well, why does she have no choice? She has no choice because of the circumstances in her life, she feels. And the beautiful thing about this situation is that the story that I mentioned, she chose life. She graduated from nurses training. She eventually married the father of her child. They bought their first home a few years ago, and now there's more babies in that family. And when she looks at her son now, she is so thankful that she chose life, But in the heat of the moment, she felt like she had no choice. And I think it all goes back to that, Brenda. If we will step back and say, does God, is God the author of life? And if God is the author of life, yes, I know we may make some choices that cause the life to come about. But ultimately, is often an unplanned pregnancy is a choice of God. And embracing, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I'm just going to do the next right thing. And our clients always know what the next right thing is. We may not know what to do next week and next week and next week, but any of us know what the next right thing to do is. It's why it's my life mantra, just do the next right thing. Amen. And sometimes that will step you through as you lean on God and look for the resources to help you to just do the next right thing.
Amen. I'm not going to belabor this point, but you know my story, because 73 years ago, my mother had a pre-op test to see if she had issues with fibroid tumors in her uterus, and they wanted to do a hysterectomy, but they found out she was pregnant with me. This is 1949, and the doctors were very adamant that she abort me so that they could do the, and she said, absolutely not. True woman of God, you know, she trusted God. I went full term. I was born, and I've been around for, you know, for good or ill, for 72 years plus. But to say, you know, this is where God got involved. God's intention was that I be born.
Yeah.
And for so many other people, parents' intention, maybe not. I was a surprise, obviously. But it points to God's intentions as opposed to ours.
Yeah.
God's wisdom, perfect as it is, as opposed to our wisdom, grossly imperfect and flawed. And how are we going to make decisions? You know, a woman's body, there's much to say about a woman's body that you do have choices.
Yes, you do.
But God designed the woman's body in such a way that the greatest, I'm going to use the word ministry here, because the greatest aspect of woman's ministry for those that are called to be married and to have children, is to bear children. And your internal organs are different from mine, because you're going to carry that child, hopefully full term. And after that child is born, there are other parts of your body that come into play that for that child to be fed and be nourished. And God's intention is so clear in that regard. And that child growing up is not a tumor, or questionable as to whether it will become a human being or something else. It is destined, if all circumstances apply, and to be born out of the womb a human being. But it was a human being before it was born through the birth canal. And if I can believe Jeremiah, what God is saying, that child was intended before even conception.
It's a biological fact that this is a human being that is separate from the mother. But do we have time to address the rape issue? Because it's so important. A young woman asked me yesterday, what about if somebody is raped? And so my question to her is, do you think it's right that someone else pay a price for another person's crime? And she said, well, no. And I said, then step back from this question about rape and ask yourself, is it right that for the sins of the father, that a child is aborted? So I understand the grief over rape exception. First, let me say that a baby is conceived in less than 1% of the time when it is in case of rape. Your body is not naturally receptive to conceiving if you are being raped. But I have spoken with women who chose abortion because they were raped, and their words to us were, that was more painful to get the abortion than it was to get the rape, because the rape was done to me. The abortion I chose to inflict on myself, and it made it so much harder to deal with the grief of abortion. Frankly, it becomes complicated grief at that point, because you have to separate a sense of guilt from having chosen abortion for whatever reason from the horrible thing that was done to you, the rape. There's no easy answer here. If you conceive in rape, there are no easy answers, but sometimes it does us good to step away from the rape and separate the baby from the rape in order to make the better choice that we can live with.
I've talked with women that have been raped, and some of them are highly indignant that the baby is considered the rapist. She says, this is my baby.
That's
and
right.
Having the baby is what healed them from the trauma of the rape.
Wow, yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And
that is.
And I would have never known that if I didn't talk to a lot of women. I did a lot of street ministry and would ask women their stories. And I heard that over and over again. It really surprised me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is, it's very powerful. And I'm going to take us to some music, a little period of time and as a break. And then we're going to come back. And unfortunately, you know, our hour will be almost up. But there's some more things that need to be said, and so we will say those things. We're going to hear now The Voice of Truth by Casting Crowns.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and is holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and they laugh.
Do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says truth. I will listen and believe. I will listen and believe the voice of truth.
Voice of Truth by Casting Crowns. We've been talking about truth today, haven't we? Karen, you have a question, and that's going to really bring us to the end of this wonderful hour.
Yes. So both Brenda and Sue, so I think a lot of people are wondering, how is this really going to, what is it going to look like now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned? What does that look like in the states, and what can we be expecting to see or hear? I know there's some states that have laws that are already in place to you know, to stop doing abortions, but for the rest of the states, how does that, how do you think it's going to play out?
It'll be different in the different states. Basically, it does not outlaw abortion federally. That is what it does not do. And then it goes to the states, and we already kind of know how different states are going to go. Sue will be able to shed more light on that. But that's the original intent of the Constitution, that the states were like sovereign republics that delegated some of their authority in Article 1, Section 8 to the federal level. And so that was usurped with Roe v. Wade. And now it's being returned to the states. And so now it's state by state what will happen.
So technically, things are not being taken away. They're being given back, really.
Correct.
That's a good way to look at it. And I appreciate the fact, Brenda, that you point out the very fact that we've been trying to make here, was that they did a good thing to return this to the states. It actually increases the autonomy of the states, which is the way that it was supposed to be. And right now, I think we said that there are 26 states that have laws on the books that are either going to limit or outlaw abortion. And there are some of those, there's like, how many did you say have some that are already in place, and then there's others that will be coming into play? They're called trigger laws, that if abortion is overturned federally, it means that it triggers a law in the state for this to step up and become law.
I believe that I saw that there are 26 states that will eventually ban abortions, but 13 immediately went into effect.
Ban or limit?
Limit.
Yeah, limit.
Limit, yes.
Not ban. Many of them, like our own state of Florida, has a law that will be going into effect that limits abortion after the 15th week. There are some states that are setting that limit lower. I think Texas is 6 weeks, isn't it? And all of these laws have been put in place to be very carefully worded to be within the Constitution as this decision is handed down. I know our legislators were working on this with this in mind in the state of Florida. And they did good. They got this through. And it was, there was some really interesting scenes that took place in Florida's capital as they worked this thing through, and then our governor signed it to go into effect, that abortion limited at 15 weeks once Roe v. Wade is overturned, or if they were saying Roe v. Wade is overturned. So it goes back to the states. That's what it means. And there are states that are still figuring out exactly what that means. I know you heard me mention Ohio a few minutes ago, that there was wording in there saying that they were going to literally make it so a woman had to have a tubal pregnancy, ectopic pregnancy, implanted in her uterus. That has never been done successfully, to my knowledge. And so some of those things are going to be worked out. If a woman's life is in danger, her life, she will always be able to remove a fetus that is threatening her own life. Because in that case, you would save one life. Do you understand? The intent of the law is to save life, not take life. Amen. So this is basically how these laws are supposed to work.
Wow. Brenda, do you have anything else you want to add about constitutional concerns that we've laid out today?
I see such a parallel with Dred Scott and Roe v. Wade.
Oh, me too.
And when I teach American history, I have so many of the original documents so that the students can understand how hard we had to work to end slavery and see the parallel. And it just bursts in us a real statesman, patriotic attitude and equips us for this battle because it's the same. We will have God's judgment if we don't end.
Amen.
And protect our little ones.
And we can't say that enough. We cannot say that enough. But speaking of things you can't say enough, our time is almost up. But before we go, and I'm going to, Sue is going to close us in prayer for today, but I want both of you, starting with Brenda, to tell our people again, our listeners, how they can get a hold of you, and in your case, Brenda, the website, and how they can perhaps sign up for that six-week constitutional course, or
yes.
Or maybe a pastor is listening and saying, I want Dr. Brenda to come to our church.
Aww.
You know, and I'm going to get a bunch of folks together, and we're going to cover this very important information of the Constitution.
I am. That is my delight. My website is teachinghisstory.com, three words in one. And I do teach high school history and the literature that goes with it from a biblical view, original documents. It's so fun. Mm. And then I teach adult classes also. It's all there on the website, and I come for a love offering. I've helped pastors. Mm. My concern is when pastors see what's happening in the education, they think they have to build a school to be part of the solution, and you do not. Mm. So I come and just share from my heart for a love offering. That's my joy to help.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. And we'll help anyone that misses the information. We call the station. We can get you connected, too, with Brenda. And Sue Chess, Hairnet of the Treasure Coast, has done a marvelous work with so many women and men in terms of going ahead with that pregnancy, and the support they get afterwards is phenomenal.
And also the support if they choose abortion. That's
yes,
important.
That's right. You don't throw them out.
No.
You know, it's like God, Jesus just reaches out. You love him regardless.
That's right. That's right.
How can they get in touch with you?
The phone number at the office is 772-828-3168. Or you could email me at sue@carenettc.com.
Great. Thank you. And Sue, would you, I'd ask Sue if she would close us in prayer just as the Lord leads.
Father God, you saw this day. You knew it was coming. And I think sometimes your own children doubted it, but you knew, and we thank you for what we have witnessed. I will never forget where I was standing when I heard the news, and I think all of us could probably say the same thing. It's that kind of momentous. Yes. We thank you for it, Lord. Even though we know that it's going to cause us to have to confront things that we've tried to keep hidden in the corner and not address. Lord, would you give us your love? Mm. Help us that we will speak lovingly and listen intently. Father God, we pray for your help as we walk through the days and the weeks ahead that we will get this right. Father, may we come alongside the woman facing the unplanned pregnancy. Mm. May we come alongside the guy who doesn't know exactly how he's supposed to be supportive. Show us, Father, how to come alongside everyone who's hurting. Help those who are hurting to reach out, to not try to carry their burdens alone, but to let someone help them carry it. Father, you don't intend us to carry our burdens by ourselves. So teach us how to reach out. And then teach others of us how to listen and how to love, that we will come alongside those who need help, that we will be there for the person that's facing the hard choices. And God, please help us that we will control our words, that we will not speak recklessly, that we will not stir up anger, that we will not feed dissension, but that we will speak the love of God wherever there is an opportunity to do that. Protect your children, that we hand over their mouth and the arm around their shoulder, that they will be the kind of Christian you would have them to be, that we will be the salt and the light in this community, but that we will do it without rubbing salt into something painfully.